And we're so pleased to bring aboard right now from ESPN, from SiriusXM NFL Radio, one of the iconic figures of the National Football League, multiple NFL Executive of the Year, Bill Polian. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's nice to be back. Vic, I didn't know I was iconic, but I've been called a lot worse, I guess.
I was looking at all the words I could come up with, and there you go. Hey, Bill, let's start with the Broncos, the team that the Browns faced this week, and particularly Peyton Manning, the man you know so well, the man you drafted to the Indianapolis Colts, and how you view where he is and what he's doing now, and just knowing what he's overcome, multiple neck surgeries and all the thoughts about his health. I mean, we knew what his skill set was, but overcoming that, what kind of guy do you see now relative to the guy you've seen at his absolute prime in Indianapolis?
Well, I see the same guy, very honestly. Maybe he's lost 6 inches off his fastball. And that's just a maybe. You see it in rare instances where he has to make a 35-yard throw from hash mark to the other sideline. It doesn't quite go out there with as many revolutions as it used to.
Right.
But he was never the prettiest passer in the world anyway. People made a big fuss out of that when he came out in the draft, that he didn't throw a pretty ball. Other than that, there's absolutely no change, and that's amazing when you really stop and think about it, as you said, because I can remember having a conversation with him and with the doctors where we were in September 2 years ago, where we were sitting back saying, well, if this is the end, it's been a marvelous career. Well, knowing him, I didn't think it was the end, and it isn't. This is the beginning of a new chapter, yeah. And he's playing as well as he's ever played. He's got the team energized. They've got the, in my opinion, the exact correct mix of run and pass.
Mm-hmm.
The young man from Georgia has stepped in. I thought that the loss of their star running back would hurt them very badly, but he stepped in and done a terrific job.
Yeah, no Sean Marino.
And as long as that running game stays at the level it is and has been, then they're going to be a formidable opponent. And, of course, this is a big game for them because they're fighting very hard to retain at least the second spot and a home game or home games at Mile High, which is a huge advantage. So, unfortunately for the Browns, they're catching the Broncos not in a get ready for the playoffs mode, but playing for home field advantage mode.
Yeah, definitely an inspired, motivated Broncos team. Other than Jacob Tammy at tight end, this is a new cast of receivers for Peyton Manning. And What I wanted to ask you was regarding at his very best, it seemed like things worked so well at Indianapolis because of the extra work he did with Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark and their thing, their chemistry that they put together. So when he walks into Denver, you're walking in cold with Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. And I know he had Brandon Stokley, he had history with him too. But, you know, my question is, were you a little surprised at how quickly this was able to come together, given that he hasn't certainly had that kind of time to develop the chemistry that he did in Indy with those guys?
Yes, I was. And I said on the air at ESPN that I thought that it would be mid-season before they really hit their stride, and I think that's true. And you still see occasional flashes of failure to connect. Every once in a while you see Dreesen particularly, run a route a little differently than Peyton expected, and that's certainly to be expected because Dreesen couldn't have made a more abrupt change. The difference between the Houston Texans offense and the offense that Peyton's running now is 180 degrees. So he was probably the guy that was had the biggest transition to make. But by and large, they've done it very well. Demaryius is a young receiver. It's scary to think how good they'll be after an off season with Peyton, because they've been awfully good thus far, and he's developed a chemistry with Decker, basically just the way he did with Reggie. And of course, he had his greatest success with Stoke in Indianapolis. And I kidded Brandon prior to the Atlanta game. I was at the Atlanta game early in the season, and I said to him, "Are you the translator?" And he laughed and rolled his eyes, and he said, "You know I am," meaning he's got to translate all of the various hand motions and signals and words and mouths for the other guys to absorb.
Sure.
In terms of how the offense operates at the line of scrimmage. But they've done a terrific job of it, and they're hitting their stride right now, and I think they're only going to get better.
He is Bill Polian, joining us from ESPN, from SiriusXM NFL Radio, former NFL general manager here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You know, when I think about the quarterbacks that you've been connected to, and in particular Manning, but also Jim Kelly back in Buffalo, they each had their distinctive style of play, but what they have in common is that uncommon ability to manage the game so well on the field. Jim in that famed K-gun no huddle, and Manning doing the things he does with all the arm movement and such. What's the common tie with guys who are able to do that? Because we can't name but a handful of quarterbacks maybe in the history of this game who could do that.
Yeah, and we were quite successful with Kerry Collins in Carolina as well,
right.
even as a young player. And of course, Kerry went on to go to the Super Bowl with the New York Giants and have a great career. It's intelligence, number one, football instinct, number two, and work ethic, number three. They all have all those same characteristics in abundance. And that's not something you can measure like arm strength or height or speed or anything of that nature. These are intangibles, but having been around all three, and fortunately, thank God, had success with all three, it is unquestionably those three characteristics.
From the quarterbacks that are in the game now, and particularly this year, where there's an abundance of rookies who are making an impact, especially from the top end of the draft, Andrew Luck, RG3, but also Russell Wilson. And then, you know, people here in particular would love to know your thoughts. I've asked you about him before, but now that you've seen him through 14 games, Brandon Whedon, what's there, Bill, and where does it go? He's coming off a rough performance against Washington. He's been about as uneven, I think, as you'd expect a rookie to be. But what are some of the redeeming things you see, and what do you see for his future?
Well, I think his future is bright. I've said numerous times on ESPN that I think that this class, which includes Tannehill and Whedon, is the equal of the class of 83, which included John Elway, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, et cetera. I think they're going to go down in history as good as that class, and there'll be a couple and maybe more Hall of Famers out of it. This is an extraordinary class. In another year, Brandon Whedon would likely have been, a top four or five pick in the draft. I think the only thing negative is his age, and for a quarterback, that's not really an issue. Peyton is 36 and going strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the future is bright for him. I like his toughness. I like his accuracy. He delivered. I like the timing. That's gotten better and better as the year has gone on. He couldn't have been asked to make a more difficult switch from the spread to the West Coast offense, or Pat Shurmur's version of it. So that was going to be a difficult transition at best, and he's managed it very, very well. The receiving talent around him is not of the same level that we're talking about with Denver or even in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck. RG is a different cat altogether because he does so much with his feet. But I think the future is bright. If you ask me, you know, is Brandon Whedon the quarterback of the future for the Browns, I would say unequivocally yes. And I don't think any Browns fan has been willing to say that or any analyst has been willing to say that about the Browns since the new team, since the team has come into existence,
right.
The new version of it has come into existence. So, I mean, he's done well. Yeah, it's been up and down. That's true with every rookie. Peyton Manning was 3-13 in his rookie year. Andrew Luck has thrown more interceptions than anybody in the league, and certainly more than any other rookie. So, you know, rookies are up and down. There's no two ways about it. But I think the future's bright.
Bill, some league topics just to address with you, and as a person who had been a member of the competition committee for many years, I know you pay close attention to this stuff. Let's talk about the potential for playoff expansion. I'm assuming that didn't just come up. I know it didn't just come up this year. That's been discussed before by your committee. Where do you see that going?
Well, you know, it has to be thoroughly vetted by the owners. And television and television's desire to have it plays a huge role in that. In fact, probably the pivotal role. But when you stop and think about it and you put it into context of the 18-game season, which has been talked about a lot and which virtually all football people really don't want any part of,
right.
This serves the same purpose. I think it's a brilliant approach on a commissioner's part. This serves the same purpose. It extends the calendar. It gives more meaningful games at the end of the season. It creates more meaningful games at the back end of the regular season because more and more teams will be in competition for that extra wild card spot. And when the competition committee studied this about 5 or 6 years ago, we came out and said we believe that 7 teams in each conference is the right number and that it provides one bye in the playoff structure, that for the number one team in each conference by record, and that it provides you know, lots and lots of interest at the back end of the regular season schedule, which would not otherwise exist. And it also extends the football calendar at the back end for the Super Bowl, and the league office is very interested in that. So, to me, it's the perfect solution. You don't have to worry about 18 games,
right.
and the toll that takes. 14 teams out of 32 is not too few in the playoff or too many in the playoffs. It's just about right.
Okay.
And if the networks are interested, I think it would be a great thing.
And the other topic is elimination of kickoffs, and you're well aware of the plan that involves a punt from the 30-yard line, your own 30, or the 4th and 15 in lieu of an onside kick. How do you like those options?
Well, you know, I was part of the group that put forward the present rule, but it's important to remember that what we put forward is what is now being used by the colleges. That a touchback would come out to the 25-yard line. And the reason the 25-yard line was chosen was because the odds of scoring when you go 1 yard beyond the 20, with each succeeding yard, you increase the odds of scoring. And so we thought, well, most people, if they don't have Devin Hester or Joshua Cribbs as a return man, are going to take that touchback. That will eliminate dangerous plays on the kickoff. We all know about that.
Right.
And it will also enhance the offense to a degree because they got a better chance to score with the ball on the 25 than they do with it on the 20. And we thought that would pass overwhelmingly. Well, what happened was a group of defensive coaches, defensive-minded head coaches, said, no, we want the ball to be on the 20. And the commissioner said, wait a minute, you also have offensive units. Why wouldn't you want the ball on the 25? They said, we don't care about the offense. We want it on the 20. So our defense has the advantage. So in order to get it passed and fulfill the mandate that we had for safety, which was absolutely overriding, we said, okay, we'll leave it on the 20. That's the history of it.
Okay.
My personal feeling is before we would go to anything as radical as starting the ball on the 30-yard line and then having a punt or a fourth down, whatever that suggestion entails, I would like to see us bring it out to the 25 and see how many few kickoff returns we actually have. We've eliminated about 40% of the kickoff returns with the rule as it is. I would anticipate that we'd eliminate about 25% more. So if you eliminated 65% of the of kickoff returns because of the rule, that to me would be fine, because you do have to take into consideration teams like the Browns that have a great return man, like the Bears that have a great return man. Look at what the kickoff return did for the 49ers against the Pats the other night. That's an exciting play, and if you have a player who can make that play, you ought to have the opportunity to do it. But we also have to be mindful of injuries, and so the number of kickoffs that we can reduce is good. Right. But I wouldn't be quite as radical as the proposal that's come out recently.
Okay. Well, Bill, this was tremendous as always. We appreciate it, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Vic. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Same to you and your family as well. He is Bill Polian from ESPN, former NFL General Manager and Executive of the Year, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.